Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Three. Hey, Bundy, greetings from San Francisco. I hope things are well with you in London.
Yeah, all okay, Rohit. You know, it's a nice sunny day. It's getting warmer and brighter, so nothing to complain about. How are things with you?
Oh, everything's very good here. Knock on wood, everything's fine. I think we are reopening, and you know, we are beating the pandemic a little bit in the Bay Area. But India is an absolute mess, and I thought we could talk about that today. There's been this surge. Things have not helped with the Kumbh Mela. The policy response is absurd, because I remember reading somewhere which said that they've banned gatherings of more than 200 people in Uttarakhand, but the Kumbh is but Kumbh Mela is exempted, which is sort of senseless. And, you know, I'm concerned, as I'm sure you are. My parents are elderly. They're in Pune, which is one of the worst affected, if not the worst affected cities. You've got this variant. Young people are getting it. So that's where we are. I mean, what are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I think, you know, obviously in India, we were very fearful in the first 3 months. I think somebody's done, there was a meme doing the rounds that when people were fearful of COVID, the COVID prevalence was low. Now the prevalence is high, but people are not that scared. Ki bas vaccine nikal gaya, sab kuch cheek ho jayega, right? Thoda chavanprash le lete hain, sab kuch mast ho jayega. Now, I think this, what I'm calling the whole chavanprash approach to life, that thoda, you know, nimbu pani pilo. Hazar like nakras going around that, you know, if you smell pepper, eat ginger, take turmeric. Now, I'm sure there is some kind of, you know, value, but you know, that in and of itself cannot mitigate against a deadly virus, which is polishing people off. So I'm concerned, like you, I'm concerned. But I think if you want to talk about COVID, one of the things that we have to look at in India is how, your point on Kumbh was very well made, how people believe that, you know, sab kuch theek ho jayega, upar wala hai na, apna sab ticket bana lega. No, upar wala hai, but if you're kind of, you know, running around with like 100 naked people in the middle of the street who are symptomatic, kind of, then very little Upparwala can do. Like, you're kind of forcefully trying to get infected. So, mixed bag, Rohit. That's my take on it. I'm confused. I'm worried about my mom, who's also by herself in India. It's a strange situation for all of us.
Well, I also think that the numbers had been vastly underrated. I think we did a piece earlier and we gave India credit where it was rightly due. But I think that for a long time now with this government in particular, and I'm not using this as a kind of soapbox to bash the BJP or anything, because, you know, I don't know how good the response to other state governments has been. I know that in Delhi, for instance, it's the people also, like a friend and colleague of mine mentioned that, you know, people were just, like, nobody was, you know, doing any social distancing in Delhi all these months. But, you know, for a long time now, the BJP has been fudging figures, and Indian institutions have typically been respected worldwide, whether it's economic figures, statistical data, and so on, for being kind of beyond politics and being credible. And the Modi government, to, in a sense, for local political, domestic political capital, to kind of enhance the sheen on itself, has for a long time been fudging these figures. I would say the rate of death and the rate of infection was probably 10 times what was reported. And then, you know, see, slowly this has been kind of building up, and now things have hit a kind of tipping point. So, on the other hand, what do? You know, we went from one extreme to another. We went from the world's most extreme lockdown, which probably was needed a more nuanced local response, and then we completely kind of, you know, threw caution to the wind. So what do you think about this societal approach, moving away from the government, of doing things in extremes?
I think, first, let me pick up on the number thing. I think kind of exaggeration of numbers, certain types of numbers, and underreporting of certain types of numbers is paramount. And I think you're absolutely right. This is not about bashing a particular party. It was apparently in West Bengal, which I'm very familiar with, there were reports that, you know, if you were dying from COVID, it was reported as some kind of comorbidity or something. The reason for the death was not listed as COVID. So my first thing is, there were lots of celebratory, you know, as you know, people do, that, you know, COVID hasn't hit us as badly as other parts of the world. You know, I got a lot of WhatsApp messages from friends in India saying that, you know, we're feeling really fearful for you, Bandi, because, you know, UK is in such a shambolic state, you know, people dropping like flies. Look at India, you know, given the size of our population, bugger all has happened. And to which my point was that, you know, that, and I welcome it if it's true, but my sense is that probably it's underreported or there is some massaging of the figures, right? In a country where lodging an FIR for a lost wallet takes 4 days, to register death under correct causes where there's duress from state to not make it seem as a big thing. Mm. And this is part of the Indian psyche that, you know, if something happens, like you've got a pedo uncle, right? No, but he's not a pedophile. He's just like misunderstood, right? You know, let's like sweep it under the cup. I'm just going way off target on this conversation.
Yeah, but the larger point is well made. Yeah.
Yeah, the larger point is that, you know, we have this awkward tendency of hiding bad news under pretense. Like, you know, so this goes to the transparency angle. Mm. So my sense, the societal approach, my sense is that, you know, what has happened is the lockdown went so hard, so fast, so quickly in the first 3 months. The fact that it wasn't nuance has meant that, you know, it is becoming, you know, you had lots of visuals of police beating up innocent people. So like corporal punishment being wheeled out. And when you get to a place where people disregard personal public safety and they have to be beaten up, or there was a meme doing the rounds of people doing the chicken walk on our Marine Drive, people being made to crawl along the pavement. Like this kind of lowness happens up front. Then, you know, civic compliance is then waiting for dandabazi. Mm-hmm. But then civic compliance goes away. You know, people will not say, oh, koi maar nahi raha hai, toh theek hai, chalo kar lete.
The other thing is that, you know, I will say that again, this is not about a political party, but it's about certain personalities and this Amit Shah and Modi also attending rallies without masks and, you know, the desire to win at all costs.
Huh, but Rohit, wait 1 minute. All political parties, so if you look at election coverage, this is not an Amit Shah BJP number, because all political parties have Trinamool included, and in the south also the DMK party, all of those rallies, they simply were bereft of any public safety. But I take your point that, you know, the leader from the stage could have requested people to put on masks or, you know, have a nominal...
I completely agree with you. Yeah. You know, there's a political class which has a certain set of practices which cut across parties. That point is well taken. That said, I would say that as the Prime Minister of the country, you're not just the Prime Minister of people who voted for the BJP, right? You're not just the Prime Minister of sadhus, you know, who are frolicking around, you know, in the bear in Haridwar. You're everyone's Prime Minister, right? And to me, he made an accusation that Mamta is playing the politics of death or whatever, which is, you have to admire the guy's chutzpah, right? That's exactly what he's doing. The second thing is that the narcissism of this man, Modi, to stay in power and his right-hand man, means that he cannot accept responsibility for anything. I mean, you look at Modi and his bhakts. I remember when we won that final test in the last series against Australia, Modi bhakts on Twitter are praising Modi for that victory. Like, new India mindset, this, that. When we lose a match, aray, it's Nehru to blame because, you know, Nehru set in the loser mentality. I mean, and, you know, what is this? And this man is not capable of, you know, forget all the other disastrous policies. He manages to like convert disastrous policies into positive political capital through like whipping up jingoism and creating an enemy. But even now, he's very quickly palming the blame off. He and his chamchas are palming the blame off on state governments. Aray, boss, I get it that, you know, health is a state matter. But Maharashtra has requested oxygen. But, you know, wherever there's an opposition party, this is being used as a kind of opportunity and occasion to crack down on them. Wherever there's the BJP in power at the state level, the numbers are really being vastly reduced. So, again, you know, you're trying to milk this the way you milk terrorist attacks, the way you milked, you know, a gathering of the Jamaat-e-Islami or, you know, whatever, the Tablighi Jamaat. You know, and calling it Corona Jihad and this, that. So again, you know, this, it's hard to escape that larger context. But to me, this shows an absolute failure of leadership in the sense that this was an opportunity. Whatever he's done, whatever Amit Shah has done, boss, this is an opportunity for you to be a leader. This is an opportunity for you to be a statesman. But again, you know, you are thinking about how am I going to stay in power? How am I going to eat those, you know, 70 lakh mushrooms? Where are my next, you know, Bulgari sunglasses going to come from? So it's just very dismaying. But, you know, I just, that's all I have to say. I just hope, really hope that, you know, we are able to come up with an effective response in India soon because...
I think, look, just talking across you for a while. This, so Delhi, I was just reading that now Delhi is down to its last 100 hospital beds.
Pune 80. Yeah, Pune 84 or 85. Yeah.
That's right. So these numbers are very scary given the scale. So now there's going to be a bunfight of Jugaadness. Like, you know, the other thing that will kick in here is this whole kind of Indian mythology that Jugaad se sab kuch nikal lenge. Ab lag jayega Jugaad se nikalne ke. Because, you know, this is not something you can do by Jugaad. This calls for planning. This calls for organized state intervention, irrespective of political persuasion. And Delhi has not done it with the Aam Aadmi Party. Other parts of the country haven't done it with the BJP. Maharashtra hasn't done it with the Shiv Sena government. So yeah. It's not a critique of a particular political system. There's a mindset issue here, which is that, you know, civic compliance is through dandabazi. That's going to fold, number one. And then Jugaad se kar lenge. Last minute, we will, you know, mock up a tent into a intensive care unit. No, nahi hota, boss. You know, now...
And, you know, the Bhakts and others shouting down people on Twitter. I mean, that's not going to make the virus go away. I just want to, you know, mention that, you know, this probably deserves a sub-S episode of its own. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of the situation, obviously. You know, I have friends and family who are in this situation, as have you. But there was that story which I shared, right, about hospitals in Delhi are making two patients share a bed. And one Delhi dude asked for his money back, right? And I'm just... How does that work? Like, you know, again, sorry, my mind just works in weird ways. So I was trying to imagine that, you know, when we used to travel by sleeper, AC sleeper, second class or whatever, in which was a luxury in India, sometimes my brother and I would, you know, sleep on one berth together, right? So, yeah. Or two people would share a berth sometimes if they would sleep. And, you know, you would have like your head is on one side and another person's feet are there. Or both, because it's uncomfortable if, you know, two people's heads are on the... I mean, how does that work, yeah? Like when you split a bed with another...
Look. I think on a serious note, stay safe, stay well. Everybody who's listening in India, take every precaution you possibly can, and hope you kind of come out the other side as best you can.
Yeah, ditto. Thanks, Manti. Take care, man.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.